Hello, this is Andy Orm of O'Reilly Media, and I'm talking today about the Computers, Freedom, and Privacy Conference this year. I'll be talking with Jules Polonetsky and Lily Coney, and I'm going to ask each of them to introduce themselves right now. Lily, why don't you start?
My name is Lily Coney. I'm Associate Director at the Electronic Privacy Information Center, or EPIC.org. I'm working on a number of issues. EPIC is known for its advocacy in promoting civil liberties and privacy protection, and taking a close look at emerging privacy issues. I'm co-chairing this year's Computer Freedom and Privacy Conference, and I'm looking forward to seeing many of you there on June 14th through 16th at the George Washington Law Center.
In Washington, D.C., we should mention.
Yes, Washington, D.C.
And I'm delighted to be the other co-chair, Jules Polonetsky, and I'm the director of the Future of Privacy Forum, a think tank that focuses on consumer privacy issues, online marketing, the smart grid, location data, and I've been attending CFP for many years, and it's really exciting to play a bit more of a role helping organize it this year.
Now, Computers, Freedom, and Privacy has been around for years and years. Was it 23, Lily?
This is the 21st year of Computers, Freedom, and Privacy. It may have dated a little more, a little older than that, but that's when they began to count the conferences.
And since some of our listeners, I think a lot of our listeners will know about the conference, may have attended it, but I think we need to give them a sense of some of the history and some of the major things that have gone on there and what makes it special.
Well, there are a lot of technology conferences. There are a lot of privacy conferences. There's really only one, Computers, Freedom, and Privacy. It really is the conference organized in a very democratic way by the advocacy community. Every year it's assembled from scratch by a program committee of leaders of human rights groups, of privacy groups, of civil liberties groups, folks who care about the future of a free and an open internet and one that respects individual rights. It's known for great debate, sometimes controversy. There are folks who only come out and show up at CFP, and you won't see them at other conferences. Government officials show up. There's hefty debate. Corporate folks show up. There's serious debate, and advocates on either sides of every issue. So it's a very different feel than some of the very safe and structured events where people put up a PowerPoint and you know what they're going to say. Things happen. Minds are changed. Opinions are shaped. The DC event, CFP, very regularly occurs in DC, although it moves around the country. But the DC event is always an exciting one. There's always a big focus on civil liberties. And this year, I'll maybe hand off to Lily. This year, there's going to be a real focus on human rights, given what's going on in the world. Do you want to add to that, Lily?
Yes. I'd also like to add that CFP provides a networking opportunity that is as focused as the program that we present at CFP. Many of the projects and proposals that come out of CFP lead to discussions that lead to additional work, collaborations that would otherwise never happen. The people at CFP were there with each other, the industry as well as advocacy community, advocates, technologists, government officials. They find ways to work through problems that otherwise would not have been identified or addressed. This year's conference will be looking at specifically some of the human rights issues that we've seen recently in the North Africa and the Middle East. The theme of this year's conference is The Future Is Now. We have a number of questions that this conference will attempt to address. What is the social media's role in the change democracy movement, in the charged democracy movement in the Middle East and North Africa? How can technology and social media support human rights? What is the impact of mobile personal computing technology on freedom and privacy? Are the courts, policy decision makers ready to address the fundamental freedom and privacy issues in a 24/7 connected world? Are our leaders tech savvy enough to make good legal and policy decisions regarding the deployment of smart grid, e-health records, the spread of consumer location-based advertising, as well as cybersecurity, cloud computing, smart grid, net neutrality, federated IDs, ubiquitous surveillance, are they passing tech fads or here to stay?
We're going to do those all that in 3 days, right?
We're going to do it all in 3 days and three nights. So we warn people when they come to CFP, it is a total immersion experience, along with the opportunity to see and hear from a lot of great panelists and speakers. There are evening programs that are designed to be more creative and engaging and also entertaining, so that we open up the opportunity for submissions from the communities that will participate in CFP. It's literally a conference that's designed by advocates and populated by all of those who share an interest in the issues that will be addressed.
And in addition to those special, those long 3 days, we have a health privacy track, which you've been working on, and I have been too, actually.
Yes, we have, for the first time, a pre-conference, an official pre-conference for Computers, Freedom, and Privacy. It'll take place on June 13th. It's a conference that will be looking at electronic health privacy, records management security, the systems that are being proposed, some policy options that should be addressed, and of course, the most important issue is how do patients maintain control over their health records while at the same time maximizing the benefits of health care options that may be available to them.
We know the government has been very concerned with privacy. They know the public cares about privacy in health care, and that was what the HIPAA Act, the Portability Act, was originally supposed to do. Wasn't all that successful. So they're trying again with a number of technologies, and I think we'll be covering a lot of the things that both the government and the private sector are doing in healthcare.
Well, I think that this is the whole goal of Computers, Freedom, and Privacy, bringing together all of those parties to these discussions around privacy, whether it's industry, whether it's advocates, whether it's government. We all share an interest in making sure that the benefits of technology and a digital enhanced environment can bring to consumers. But the question is, can you do this in a privacy protective way? Is there a question about trade-offs? What we think and believe about privacy is that the benefits of privacy are that individuals are more likely to share information when they feel secure that the information will be used in the way that it was originally collected, the purpose for sharing that information. The discussions or the tensions are around how do you define the benefits to consumers and how do you know what consumers are in agreement with or not. I think that the overall goal of Computers, Freedom, and Privacy and all the discussions that will be happening around that event is to make sure that we have some good ideas that are brought to the discussion, that we have opportunities to air out misconceptions or even ideas about how people approach these issues that may not be on track or on point, to make sure that we're clear and can communicate with each other, but then also look at some of the solutions that may be available.
Now, I'm going to ask Jules a question in a minute, but perhaps at this point we should stop to mention some deadlines. You mentioned when the conference was, the healthcare one on June 13th, and the rest of the conference on the 14th through the 16th of June. And then we have a deadline for posters and a deadline for the sessions of the conference, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Computers, Freedom, and Privacy has sent out a call for proposals. The final submission deadline for workshops, tutorials, discussions, ideas for speakers will be May 1st, 2011. There are two poster sessions. One is a research poster session that is actually chaired by two researchers, and researchers will be looking at the proposal submitted. And we have a law and policy poster session. The deadline for those poster sessions are April 3rd, 2011. You should visit the website, http://cfp.org/2011. And take the link to the call for participation to get more information on that.
I'm sorry, I interrupted you while you were saying the slashes. Could you say the URL again, please?
http://cfp.org/2011.
Good.
Follow the link to the call for participation to learn more about submitting ideas or content for this year's CFP.
Now, we were talking earlier before this call about how we are trying to promote the idea that privacy should be built in, privacy by design, very common term. And Jules is going to talk a bit about a recent congressional initiative about do not track in browsers.
Well, do not track is quite a hot topic. Listeners probably are aware that both Firefox and Internet Explorer have features now that are called do not track, but nobody knows exactly what that means. Some would like it to be a great solution for all privacy online. Others think it's a useful feature, and others think we need a law, and perhaps do not track is a distraction. But it's being debated in industry groups, in advocacy groups. The W3C has started looking at it as a potential standard. The IETF is taking it up, and there are proposals on the Hill to try to pass a do not track law. The Federal Trade Commission has said they want to see progress on do not track. So it's a hot issue, and we'll be having folks address it, debate it, and you'll hear a lot of vigorous discussion about that. So if it's of interest, you'll want to be at CFP.
Yeah. We have talked a bit about Congress, and one of the big problems that people often cite with the Internet is that it is international. It's very hard to tell when you've crossed jurisdictions, and can Congress pass a law that other people will respect? I wanted to mention this because we were talking about the international scope of the conference and how everybody from the people on the committee to the attendees are expected to be from many countries.
Yes, there's one thing about the scope of EPIC's work that's kind of fed into some of the current events that are going on and the behind the scenes and the discussions around privacy. The Internet is international. EPIC's project that deals with a lot of the international privacy issues have long looked at how do we find convergence and how do we seek out opportunities to make sure that online experiences are the same for consumers in the U.S. as well as other nations around the world. Now, currently, there are a lot of discussions going on in Europe and in Asia, as well as in the United States, around finding harmony or harmonization of privacy laws, revisiting privacy statutes, and looking at them through the lens of the 21st century, how the Internet has maybe changed or impacted consumer privacy rights, and then finding a way for countries whose citizens are accessing data or services that may be located in other countries to be assured of a level of privacy protection. So we wanted to make sure that this year's CFP brought in the discussions that are happening in these different arenas to this conference so that we'll have an opportunity for people who are working on these issues, whether they're on the Hill or whether they're an advocacy community or whether they're within the federal government, to also be side by side with people who are working on the same issues in other countries around the world.
We know that the European Union has some very strong laws, and in fact, the United States had to create a kind of safe harbor so we could simply interact with the European Union around things like airline records. And we know that the laws are not always observed and the principles are not always observed, but if you don't have some kind of legal framework, then you have the situation you've seen in many countries where people's rights are routinely violated and they know that they're being tracked by the government or by other organizations.
Well, there's one thing I can say about CFP. It's definitely a very interesting discussion because often it does take the form of debate where you have people who take differing positions on the same issue. It's designed to make sure that people are heard, their perspectives are heard and understood, and it made clear to the audience and participants, but also create opportunities to hear where there may be convergence or agreement.
Well, you know, we're at an interesting point now, and maybe there may be finally actually some time for agreement. I think for quite a long time, there wasn't a very serious chance we'd have a privacy bill in the United States. There was general support in Congress or in the administration for self-regulation. The businesses certainly wanted self-regulation, with a few exceptions, some companies who supported a law, and the advocacy community generally looking for a rights-based law. The Obama administration recently, the first ever, endorsed a consumer privacy law. Senator Kerry is about to introduce his bill sometime in the, you know, next days or weeks, you know, a serious proposal that's been going through lots of revisions with lots of, you know, debates and advocates and people already shaping it. The hearings are being, you know, held. The House is getting ready to put up a bill. And so we'll be holding this hearing in June. It'll conference in June will probably be right in the midst of, you know, the real hard debate as to whether the proposal, if Kerry drops it in and gets some Republican sponsors, is doable. Is it too strong? Is it strong enough? And CFP is, I think, going to be a big center of that discussion.
After a few drinks, we can go storm the Capitol building.
But what I think is very important, and Jules is absolutely right, it's been a long time coming for a serious discussion at this level of legislative interest, as well as interest by an administration to pursue a privacy, a global national privacy law, a framework for consumers in the United States. We see this as a good start, a place to begin. We hope that lots of conversation and discourse and opportunities that come out of the work of CFP and the meetings and the panels will feed the process by providing additional input and information that otherwise may not have been made available. And because the conference will be taking place near Capitol Hill, we're also aggressively pursuing engagement and participation by members of the House and the Senate, as well as promoting that their staff see this as an opportunity to learn more about the issues that are uppermost in many consumers' minds, exactly what's happening with their digital information and how can it be protected.
So I don't think we'll have to storm the Hill. We expect to have a good turnout of folks from the Hill in the room, and the conference at Georgetown Law is actually a couple of steps away from the Hill, and it's actually across the street from the FTC, and so we'll have we expect a real good engagement from them. A lot of the folks on our programming committee include some of the chief privacy officers at the federal agencies, and so we're working with them to try to bring in some of the real, you know, top folks throughout the administration, and hopefully we'll have some exciting announcements in the upcoming debates. I mean, some of the highlights of my, you know, decade in privacy have been sitting in the audience at CFP and hearing the general counsel of the FBI, the former general counsel of the NSA, Bruce Schneier, you know, going head to head over the exact balance between privacy and security, and you know, both the phrasing, the ideas. I mean, I kept changing my mind and deciding who I agreed with as the next speaker spoke. So it really is one of the few places where you get real vigorous debate with some of the top and most articulate people in the field, and you get a lot of international people in the room who really have a voice and provide a very bright perspective. And you know, again, I think we should mention that this will be one of the real first opportunities to hear from many of the human rights advocates, folks involved in the Mideast and North Africa, folks throughout the Americas who are, you know, involved with the conference planning, who we're hoping to bring over. We're working with companies and hoping we'll have more sponsors who help bring over some of these advocates. Lily was explaining to me how, you know, I thought, well, it's great, let's hear from some of the people who are involved. Lily was explaining to me how critical it actually is for some of these folks who maybe, you know, are in their countries and can be imprisoned or arrested without anybody knowing, getting over here, being at a prominent event, being in the media, being visible, really gives them a huge amount of protection back home. You know, folks think twice and understand that someone will notice if they take action against these folks. And so it's great for us to have them, but it's actually important for some of these folks to be able to get over and have some visibility in the U.S., and it really could make a difference.
Yes, just lessons from the civil rights movement in the U.S. made it clear it doesn't provide 100% protection, but it gives them some measure of protection to have connections and to be identified as a leader and to have been at a venue like CFP, especially this year, CFP being held at Georgetown Law Center, June 14th through 16th, right on Capitol Hill, telling their story and making sure that people here understand the struggle that they've gone through and how social media has played a role in their efforts. I think it's very important for CFP and its tradition is that people get heard. It's not a shouting match. It's actually a real debate. And often the discussions flow out into the halls and the breaks, and our breaks are very long to encourage people to talk with each other, to kind of exchange ideas. We want to make sure that this is the kinds of experience that people remember and take with them, and then that those ideas spread, that they're not just talked about at CFP, but they lead to action later.
Well, this is very exciting. Some of the hottest topics in policy today, a big international presence, and the mountain will come to Muhammad, or at least Capitol Hill may come to the Arab protesters. I think maybe we should wrap up just by mentioning the venue and the deadlines one more time.
Yes, the poster session, that's the research poster session and the law and policy poster session submission deadline are April 3rd. The final deadline for workshops, tutorials, suggestions on speakers, presentations, birds of a feather, or other activities related to the program for CFP will be May 1st. The conference will take place June 14th through 16th at the Georgetown Law Center. There is a pre-conference on June 13th regarding electronic health records and health privacy on June 13th at the Georgetown Law Center as well. We're looking forward to your participation. Keep an eye on the website, http://cfp.org/2011. Thank you.
All right. So that was Jules Polonetsky and Lily Coney talking to me about computers, freedom, and privacy. Thank you very much.
Great to be here. Thanks, Andy, for having us.
Thank you, Andy.